Welcome to The Crooked Climb with Suzanne and Denise. Life and business are not linear. Let's get moving with honest, reliable, and unbiased information you can use to master life and business. We've all experienced life's ups and downs. In this show, Suzanne and Denise are committed to moving onward, upward, and most of all, learning from the biggest challenges we face in life and business. Join in the conversations with experts in their respective fields of health, wellness, personal development, fitness, and fun. And that's not all. Your path to self-mastery starts here. No climb is a straight line. Goals are achievable with clear targets. The ascent begins now.
Oh, hello, hello, and welcome everyone to The Crooked Climb with Suzanne and Denise.
Hello.
I'm Denise. That's Suzanne. So, hey, before we even get started, I want to invite you all to our conversation after the podcast. This is a podcast like no other because we're not just talking at you. We actually invite you in to talk with us, to ask us questions, and really to connect. So keep in mind, we're going to do that later on. But today, so let's go on. What are we going to be talking about today? We are going to be talking today about taking a nap. Now, napping is not just for babies anymore. Studies actually show that taking an afternoon nap can be great for adults too. My husband is an amazing napper. I'm not such a good napper. But truly, taking a short nap in the middle of the afternoon can boost your memory. It can improve your job performance. There are a lot of companies that are offering napping rooms, napping pods. Mm-hmm. It also lifts your mood. It makes you more alert and kind of eases your stress. But like anything, you know, any positive taken to an extreme, it could also have negative effects on your health and your wellness and your work. So there really are ways to take a nap and ways that you should not be taking a nap. So Suzanne, we talk about sleep and we talk about rest. Let's talk about what both of them in respect to napping. What is sleep? What is rest? And what's the difference?
Well, thank you so much. I love this topic. Because I think ever since, you know, I started working at home 10 or 12 years ago, the option to nap was here. And I wanted to kind of learn more about it. And needing to maximize my sleep, I needed to figure out this whole napping, how many hours of sleep did I need? And the difference between sleep and rest. So both have really important influences in the mind and the body, and they're crucial for your overall well-being. We kind of know that, right? We know that we need to rest. I currently have a boot on my foot, which is forcing me to slow down and rest a little bit. But sleep and rest play different roles and have a different purpose for our health.
And kind of like how we talk about, you know, exercise and movement. They're similar, but they're different.
Yes. And you know, I love the analogy and I love how we have these conversations about the fact that exercise isn't movement. Like you can still be exercising every day and have a sedentary lifestyle. You could be napping every day or you could be sleeping 8 hours a day, but not resting enough. So I love this kind of place that we're addressing these conversations and the difference of the two. And while we can't, you know, underestimate or undervalue sleep, because we spend a third of our lives sleeping, the sleep, your mind is in a different state when you're sleeping. And more research is coming out every day on what happens when we sleep. And if you're interested, fascinating book on the topic that I recommend all the time, Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. And sleep loss over time is cumulative, so it does catch up with you. And the longer you spend sleep deprived, the worse your brain performance is.
Interesting and, there. So how many times have people said to you, or have you heard the phrase, you sleep when you're dead, you sleep when I die? I'll sleep when I retire. Mm-hmm. And so people are already getting themselves in a bad mindset or a poor mindset when it comes to sleep.
Yes. Yes. And there's always this mindset of, oh, well, if I don't sleep enough Monday through Friday or Monday through Thursday, I'll catch up this weekend. And that's a big myth. So if I'm currently having some sleep issues and you're only sleeping between 5 and 6 hours, you cannot spend extra time sleeping on the weekend mm-hmm. and make up for all of that sleep deprivation. So here's the interesting thing with sleep deprivation is that if you go, say 2 hours short every night, 5 hours, right? That a lot of people think they can function on 5 hours, mm-hmm. but cumulative damage over time, if you think you're going to make up that 6, 8, extra 10 hours on the weekend, you actually can't make up that much at the same time. And this is where napping and rest mm-hmm. come into play. So you need to make up your sleep over a longer period of time. So I want you to imagine women of a certain age dealing with sleep issues for 3, 6 months, a year.
Yeah.
that sleep debt that we need to pay back, if we've been dealing with that for a long time, that sleep debt then becomes something we need to pay back over the next year of getting quality sleep just to get our brains and our bodies functioning like they were before the sleep deprivation. So this is really interesting to wrap your head around because if you're trying to make up for sleep deprivation, taking mm-hmm. a nap every day for 20 minutes can actually help speed up that process. So let's talk a little bit about how rest mm-hmm. is a little bit different than mm-hmm. sleep. So doctors defined rest as a behavior, and I wrote this down so I would remember, is a behavior aimed at increasing physical and mental mm-hmm. well-being. It usually involves stopping activity. And while sleep is a restful state, most resting does not involve the same level of disengagement up here as sleep does.
Right. So you're not getting into that deep sleep, that REM sleep that is really what we're missing when we're waking up hour on the hour, some nights. And I think that's that's an important piece to know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. while rest actually helps you recover from physical and mental effort and can mm-hmm. be active or passive. So I want you to imagine giving your brain a rest from work. And this is something that I've just discovered, that if I take a break in my work day and that work break is some movement and some meditation, I actually feel more rejuvenated than if I took a sleeping nap.
I totally agree with that because that's one of the things. So Mark he's a napper. He can, you know, he'll just say, you know what, I'm going to go in for a nap, and he'll, you know, get undressed, put his PJs on and get into bed, and he's good. He'll sleep for an hour, and maybe he's not always sleeping, but he'll go in and into the bedroom. I can't do that. If I go into the bedroom and think, oh, I'm just going to take a nap, I'm out for the count. I can't just do a 20-minute power nap. There's something about, and maybe I'm just programmed, when you go into the bedroom and you get into bed, you're going to sleep. So if I'm going to rest, I have a couch in my office. I'll just sit over there. Maybe I sleep, maybe I meditate. And you're right. I feel so much better just by doing that. If I had gone to bed and taken that nap, it would be an hour, 2 hours. And then I would wake up feeling groggy, like I'm starting the day over again. And I think that's where taking a nap as opposed to going to sleep is a big difference. It's like your body really does think it's starting the day over, and it messes with your circadian rhythm.
Absolutely. And I think that's where relaxation techniques like mindfulness and meditation and other forms of rest can actually help us almost nap, but we're not actually sleeping. And I think that's important to remember too. It can be almost as restorative as sleeping, you know, just sitting in a recliner, or sometimes I'll just lay on the floor and listen to some calming music or something like that. But we have to remember that if we're going to nap, there needs to be some parameters around that. And I want to just say something about sleep. And you mentioned, you know, napping for 2 hours, that you're actually, by doing that, you're actually starting the nighttime process of cleaning your brain, detoxifying your brain, detoxifying your body. And that's why you wake up feeling sluggish and dull and like kind of groggy.
Yeah, it's just like I'm waking up from, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, all over again.
Exactly.
Deja vu, all over again.
Yeah. And I think the benefits of rest are so similar to sleep, but yet we're also relaxing the muscles of our body during the day. And if you have a stressful job or you're rushing around with kids, I think it's important to remember that if you're constantly exposing your body to stressful situations all day, that by giving yourself a conscious break from that heightened, oh my God, oh, I gotta do this, oh, which email came in. And
Constant flight and fight, basically.
Yes, absolutely. It really helps people disconnect from that normal daily stress and fatigue. Yeah. And what does that do? That helps you sleep better at night.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, we talk about this, like, you know, if you're so tense all the time, all day long, you get into bed and you're like already like, okay, I got to go to sleep now. And that, how does that work? It doesn't. So then it takes time for you to fall asleep. You know, a lot of people have trouble falling asleep. And I think that's really where that comes in, is like, they're still so keyed up from the day. And as opposed to people who, you know, kind of wake up in the middle of the night, that's a different situation. But I think if you go to bed and you are so tense and you can't get to sleep, and all of a sudden it's 2 o'clock in the morning, that's a real key sign to say, okay, maybe you need to start thinking about relaxing rest, maybe taking that nap, 15 minute nap during the day. And, you know, late morning, early afternoon, just to get your body ready for sleep.
Yes. And that's something we talked about in our sleep episode about, you know, those habits of good sleep, you know, the disconnecting and turning electronics off, you know, a couple hours before bed, not eating before you sleep and all of that. But I want to just say that it's really tricky nowadays because of our, you know, plugged in digital lifestyle. But if we remember that rest is just as essential as sleeping. And I think that's the point I want to get home, that, you know, rest and giving yourself a break, actually by prioritizing those behaviors, whether it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or 7 o'clock at night, to disconnect, that that rest routine can be equally as important as a sleep routine. And it can yield those positive results with your sleep. So those nighttime rituals, you can have an afternoon rest ritual. I don't know if your mom did this when you were a kid and you got home from grammar school, middle school. I took a rest when I got home from school, and it was snack time and quiet time, and we didn't raise our voices and we talked about our day. And then sometimes I would close my eyes, and I can still remember that feeling as a kid. Like, I can't wait to get home from school and just disconnect because you were on all day.
Yeah. The disconnecting is hard. You know, we talk about with, you know, you mentioned about like we're plugged in all the time, but even some of the things that we want to use to help us take a nap or to rest. I know I like meditating in the morning to the sound of the Tibetan bowls. Mm-hmm. I don't have them. So I have them. I have my phone has an app. But then that means that I bring the phone in at night, so I have it there with me in the morning. And if the phone's in the bedroom, then I'm more apt to use it.
Yeah.
Same thing with, you know, in the afternoon with the when I want to just relax, what am I doing? I'm grabbing my phone to put a meditation music or some kind of calming music on. Mm-hmm. That sometimes I think that gets a little muddled because we want to take that time to rest and to rejuvenate without the electronics, but yet the electronics at this point are also helping us to do that.
Well, you know, I like old school. This is where I, you know, I'm a huge fan of technology. You know that.
Yep.
I love apps. I love resources. I love software, but there's nothing better than going for a walk out in nature without anything in your ears or mm-hmm. listening to your own thoughts or the wind going through trees or just being out in nature mm-hmm. improves my mood. And if I block that with music, then I don't reap those mm-hmm. benefits of being out in nature. So
that's true. That's true. Being like in nature also lowers your blood pressure yes. and your yes. stress levels, no matter just being there.
Mm-hmm. And 10 minutes of exercise or calm breathing outside can positively influence your work day. Mm-hmm. And I know, I mean, I've been frustrated before, whether it's with work or technology or a slow computer. And there's been times mm-hmm. where I can feel my blood pressure going up and I just want to finish. And just by getting up mm-hmm. and going in a different spot in my house or stepping outside mm-hmm. and taking a minute to close my eyes allows me to kind of reboot that mood or that stress mm-hmm. level.
Yep.
I'd love to talk a little bit, Denise, about scheduling mm-hmm. your sleep or scheduling your rest. I think the same rules apply for both. And mm-hmm. I think you kind of agree with me on that.
I do. And one of the things about scheduling the downtime, it's so important right now, especially since most of us are working from home. You and I work from home anyway. And so this is something that, you know, we need to make sure that we're doing on a regular basis so we can say, hey, you know, walk the walk oh, yeah. and talk the talk, right? So when you work in an office, right, you have a commute, you drive to the office, you have time between home and work both ways. And that's that gives you a bit of downtime to kind of, you know, kind of deal with your family. Okay, now I got to get my mindset around work. And then on the flip side, you know, leave work behind you, get your mindset ready and kind of rest your brain.
While you love that.
You know, I mean, obviously you're resting your brain. If you're driving, you're still using your brain, I hope, but you're not really thinking about the stress at work. You know, you're really kind of, you have that chance, that time that's already kind of built into your commute. Mm-hmm. And so for those of us who are working from home on a regular basis or, you know, whatever it might be right now, it is essential for you to schedule that time to step away from your office. Like Suzanne said, you know, she walks away and goes into a different part of her room. I think it's really important if you are working from home to have lunch someplace else. Mm-hmm. Like my office is downstairs, so I have to physically go upstairs to make my lunch and to sit up there.
Yes.
Just changing the atmosphere calms me down. It's much more relaxing. Sitting at your desk and eating, because this is what we do. If we're sitting at the desk and we're eating, we're doing this, we're shoveling
I know. And I don't know, you know, a long time ago, I read an article about separating work and home when you're an entrepreneur. And one of the things that stuck with me when you have a home office, when you leave the home office to pause at the doorway, and this is something I still do to this day, and I mentally leave whatever I was working on in my office. When I don't do that, when I'm too busy or I forget or whatever, I find myself in my kitchen still working on whatever I was working on at my desk, whatever conversation I was having, whatever email was getting written, whatever social media I was on. And somebody in my family will try to talk to me. And I'm like, oh, wait, sorry. I was still at my desk.
You know, but another way to
that disconnection piece is really important.
It is. It is. Another way to make sure you have that disconnection. I love that concept of leaving the door, because I can literally shut the door and walk away, because I've done that myself. Another way that I find is really helpful for that separation is to write things down, just to write it down. What do I need to finish tomorrow? What do I need to start working on? And once it's written down, it's done. Because it's what happens is when you walk out the door, it's done. You're not going to forget about it because you've written it down. So your mind isn't playing it over and over in your head. Don't forget to email Suzanne. Don't forget to do this email. Don't forget to call back so-and-so. So I think those are some of the really important things. But another thing that's really important, and this really comes to taking control of your schedule, is to block your time that you're going to exercise. Block the time that you're going to just do nothing, whether that nothing is, you know, meditating or taking that walk that we talked about.
What about actually doing nothing? What about?
I don't know if you know how to do that.
Oh, wait, I just want to say, I don't think in the last 10 years of being an entrepreneur and almost 12 years since my son was born, I don't know if I've actually ever done nothing, because I'm convinced I'm still working while I'm sleeping, but that's a whole nother show. So doing nothing, let's define nothing and challenge our audience. This is totally impromptu, by the way. This is not something Denise and I discussed, but let's challenge anyone who's listening to take 5 minutes today after you hear this show, whether it's live or replay, 5 minutes, set your phone timer and sit on the floor, sit in a chair and don't do anything.
Not even meditate. Just sit there.
No, just sit there. Stare at the wall. Look at the clouds. Nothing.
Let's see how. I would love to know how many people can actually do it. I'm going to have to try that, because I know even when I'm sitting on the beach, like I'm doing something. I'm reading something. I'm writing something. Rarely do I just sit there and kind of like, oh, look at that pretty cloud. I might notice the cloud, but I notice the cloud as I'm reading something.
I mean, there's something magical about people watching. That's what my grandmother used to call it, right?
Yeah.
Just to go to the beach or the boardwalk or the mall.
I don't want to go to the beach and people watch anymore, Sue. Not a pleasant sight all the time.
That's okay.
But I get the point. Please, go on.
I mean, because we've kind of missed that's doing nothing. That's just being. And that's an important pillar of our show is, you know, just being and allowing, giving yourself permission to rest and to be and to do nothing.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think that's a very good point. We do need to give ourselves the permission to do that. And I know, you know, women, some men too, constantly, you know, constantly going. I'm like the Energizer Bunny. I've always been this way. When I was in college, one of the guys that I knew, he would call me PM, perpetual motion, because I was never stopped. I just never stopped. And I'm from the minute I wake up, I'm going. So I'm actually going to take on this challenge. And those of you who are listening, would love to hear, you know, tell us what you think. Whether it's on Facebook or contacting us, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. We'd love some feedback on that. We also have an article to share with you, which we'll happily share on social media under the replay here. It's from Time Magazine, and it's a great article about is napping healthy? That was a great read. Denise, thanks for sharing that one. And it's about time for us to wrap up already. And these conversations go so fast. And I want to just say every week there's another diet workout program, and you can spend hundreds of hours and dollars on these programs and still feel stuck. And our goal here at The Crooked Climb is to give you something simple, easy, and focused. Our three key components that can maximize every aspect of your life and business: nourish, move, and be. We're about to go live into our studio audience and go deeper with our audience. And there you'll be able to ask questions, interact, and get some love seat coaching. Please select the Join Now button on your screen and we'll see you over there. And thank you for joining our show. We are here every second and fourth Friday of the month at 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. And you can find us live where you can listen in or on your favorite podcast network to listen to the replay. And coming soon is the Crooked Climb website. We are super excited for that. That means there's going to be blog posts for every show, all of our replays listed there. Super fun, and tons of free resources, articles, and books for our readers to learn more on all these topics that we talk about.
Awesome, awesome. We'll see you in the live studio audience, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to The Crooked Climb with Suzanne and Denise. Life and business are not linear. Your go-to solution for honest, reliable, and unbiased information you can use to master your life and business. To connect with Suzanne, visit thetailoredconsultingagency.com. That's tailored, T-A-Y-L-O-R-D. And to connect with Denise, visit livinghealthylist.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.